Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 237 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode of From Behind the Barbecue Front Lines, I get a chance to talk to Pat Martin from Martin's Barbecue Joint, with locations in Tennessee, Alabama, Kentucky, and South Carolina. I wanted to reach out because in our first discussion that we had, he was actually driving home. I'll put a link to it below. He was driving home from an event. Back when we had events, it was an event with Sam Jones where he took half the hog and did it East Tennessee style, and Sam did it Carolina style, and they compared and contrast. It was a great, great interview, very insightful, and I knew that he had such a business mind for all of this, and it would be interesting to know what happened when COVID hit, and it hit hard and hit swift per Pat Martin. He has 600 employees, had to furlough 90% of them. He's had to shutter his downtown location in Nashville, the biggest location that he has, because there's no foot traffic, there's no sports, people aren't coming down for anything. So he's had to close that since the beginning. Catering business is almost nil. He is dead on, straightforward about everything. And I think that you'll find this very interesting to learn how this can affect someone that's growing. He also has a spot called Hugh Babies, which had 5 locations and it was growing, and they've had to close one of those locations, or he's going to close one of those locations. It's extremely intriguing. And then we get into whole hog and why it's important, because when I talked to Zach Parker and when I talked to Pat when he was here in Los Angeles at an event, he talked about the importance of keeping whole hog and East Tennessee whole hog tradition alive, and I wanted to know why that's important and all about whole hog. So we get into that in the end, so that's extremely interesting. It's the first time someone mentions confit in one of these interviews. I think you'll find this fascinating as well as very sobering. I can't thank Pat enough for taking the time. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints YouTube show and podcast is brought to you by Centex Smokers. They're out of Luling, Texas. Michael Johnson's the owner. I sat down with him in July, and I knew like a few minutes into our interview that not only did he have the skills, because he's been welding since he was 5 or 6 years old, but he has a passion. He wants to be one of the top Texas pit builders. So right off the bat, he started working with Ronnie Killen, and he followed up with a huge, beautiful, gorgeous pit from Big Mo Kaysen. And what Michael does is he combines craftsmanship with his intense focus on performance. So performance of the smoker in the pit is key. Centex, which is Central Texas, is old school craftsmanship using new school techniques. And Luling, if you're wondering, is just shy. It's an hour shy of Austin. You have a lot of pit maker choices. There's a lot of guys making pits all across the United States, as well as a ton in Texas. Not many of them have been welding since they were 5 or 6 years old. He's passionate. He's hungry. Give him a DM. Get a hold of him and get a quote, because I think you'll be very, very surprised. And the quality is going to be top notch. His lead time right now is about 4 to 5 months, but I guarantee you that's going to be growing. The ideal way to get a hold of him is via DM on his Instagram. His Instagram is @Centex_smokers. That's @CENTEX_SMOKERS. Centex Smokers out of Luling, Texas. And the show is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling as well. They're treatyoakdistilling.com. or their physical location in Dripping Springs, Texas, which you can go to at least 3 to 4 days a week. Also, they have Alice's Restaurant on site, which is a barbecue restaurant, which is awesome, and where you can sample all their cool new stuff. They have a lot of new product on hand, as well as their tried and true favorites. Again, that's treatyoakdistilling.com. And I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all this stuff, all the podcasts, all the YouTube stuff. I have an ongoing list ever since the pandemic started with where to get your barbecue fix in Los Angeles, and it's growing. I'm making sure that that's up to date weekly. I just launched an Orange County and San Diego version of that. But I have a lot of cool stuff on the horizon, so keep checking back. If you're on the YouTube side, subscribe. That way you don't miss out. I'm putting out 2 to 3 of these per week. But at the end, stay safe, stay sane, and be sure to get takeout or to go or dine in outside if you can, or 25% at your local barbecue joint. Got to keep them in business. And as you'll hear from this interview, it's a really rough time. And good morning.
Good morning to you. Things were, plowing along when COVID started. I mean, pre-COVID, I've had several of these interviews, and every time it's like still jarring how quickly the rug was pulled out, you know? And so it took me about once COVID hit, it hit hard and it hit swift. I mean, I went down, we had about, I don't know, 600 odd employees, and I, you know, within 2 weeks I've been furloughing 90% of those and cutting manager salaries and all that. So,
cause you had 10 Martin's barbecue joint, and then you had three Hugh babies. Is that, am I correct?
Yeah, four Hugh babies in the company. Four. Yeah.
Okay.
And a fifth one is licensed, but so yeah, it was hard, man. It was very hard. I had to really pivot. And that's like the sexy word now, by the way, is
it is. It is. Everyone's pivoting. That's all we're doing is pivoting.
That's all we're doing is pivoting, but I had to redo my whole labor model. That was probably the biggest challenge, is try to, you know, how to produce the same quality product. You can't ever pass your inefficiencies on to the guests,
mm-hmm.
be it price or bastardizing the quality or anything. So, you know, you can, but I never will.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to figure out how to adapt. And it was hard. I guess we did. I don't really know.
So do you completely shut down the entire operation, or did you pivot to take out?
I shut my big downtown restaurant down. It's still closed down. It's killing me. My catering disappeared, literally completely vanished.
And that's huge.
And we're back up now. We had started about 40% of sales. Now we're back up. We're by about 70% now. So if you couple the catering in my downtown and then now we're down 30% pre-COVID, you know, I'm down about 2/3 from where I was last year.
Oh, that's insane. What's amazing is what you, from our previous interview and our previous talk, that time you were driving back, if anybody hasn't seen that, it's really interesting. You're driving the entire time as the sun sets and you're behind you. But what you grew this to, and then having the rug, like you said, pulled out from under you, that's a lot. And how are you doing right now mentally?
You know, it's been 6 months into it now. So, you know, you just
numb as sure.
Yeah. You just numb. It's just the new world. So, it doesn't make it easy, and I'm not happy. We're not losing money. We're just not making any money.
Is your downtown location closed for the foreseeable future?
Yeah.
Is it because there's no dining or something?
The ghost town. There's no tourism. There's no sports. There's no concerts.
That makes sense. Okay. But you can eat. Can you eat at the other locations? You could dine in, right?
Yeah, all the other ones are open. We're at 50% capacity. And then, of course, off-premise is all wide open. So the other ones are okay. I had one Hugh Babies we're closing permanently. That's the only one thus far that we're closing permanently.
And is it just because of traffic, like the foot traffic, or –
You just get into some spots where, you know, especially when you start getting into a core downtown or closer to a core downtown of an urban city, rents are obviously higher, and you just don't have the forgiveness, so to speak, especially when you have a gut punch in sales like that.
So what are you going to do with that location? Is that even something that you can
think about? I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get, maybe, I don't know. I don't know what the landlord will do with it.
Oh my gosh. This is like, this is unexpected. And from your website, I knew that there was dine in, and I assumed it was at 50%. So what can people do then? What would you recommend people do to help people like you and all the other places? Is, would you say buy gift cards, buy, do as much to go as you can?
Yeah. Just eat with us. You know, that's it, man. The people, everybody needs it. So if you can, you know, but I would say that just dining with us is the biggest thing you can do to help. Gift cards are great. That's dining to me, but just show your face and your mask. Come in and eat.
Yeah, you know, smile or no smile, you can't tell anymore if people – you can tell by their eyes kind of if they're smiling. Well, and I tell people, I always say, just buy a gift card and cut it up. I don't know. Just help your – if you love the place enough, like, and you can give $25 or like, it's a gig – it's almost like you're still, you know, putting cash into the pockets. Yeah. I just want to help all these places. And the reason why I'm doing these is I want to know anything I can do to help. And so I guess that would be just eat as much as you can, eat local as much as you can. You still have your merch, right, online?
Still have my merch online. Yep.
Okay. And then with Hugh Babies, do you have merch for that too?
I do have a little bit of merch. It's not as extensive as Martin's by design, but it's cool, man. Hugh Babies is a cool little brand.
Yeah, that's, I know. I love that brand so much. I actually just sent a link 2 days ago to someone. I'm like, you got to check this out. This is,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah. No, so now for that, like, were you planning on, like, because you have your places in Nashville, Alabama, and Kentucky for Martin's. At before pre-COVID, had you had even larger expansion plans?
I did. I'm more opportunistic. I've never sat back and thrown some map out and been like, all right, how big, you know.
Gotcha. Okay, I see.
Empire. And so it's there's been a trade-off with it. It's not, I didn't get into this business to scale. I got in because I love hog and I love barbecue. And however, I enjoy what I do. I enjoy being a restaurateur. I enjoy being, I guess, an executive now. But it's not what I got into it to do.
So
I'm growing on an opportunistic path. I don't have some number out there in the future and all that. You know, I just want to grow it organically and give opportunities to my guys who work for, you know, 2, 5, some of them over 10 years to go get a little piece of the pie for themselves, you know. So,
and you had talked about the real estate aspect too, because that was great advice that you had gotten and that you had given to me and to whoever was listening about purchasing, like trying to secure real estate as opposed to renting. Is that still
always
advice?
You can buy it. Yeah, if you can buy it, because you limit your risk. If you don't make it, you know, you've still got an asset there that you can lease out and create cash flow.
How has it been for your friends in the industry? Because you were traveling a lot last year.
Yeah, I was. Past 5 years, I've been consciously trying to travel a lot less. But, you know, there was a span there, man. You just go and go. And it does, I don't know that it really does a lot for everybody's brands other than just, it's good for your crew to go to some of these events. It is definitely important. The camaraderie and the network of our community and barbecue, that's very important. But, you know, sometimes it can be too much, and it just got too much for me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I like my mattress and I like my family.
And I guess you've had to dial that back completely. What's the atmosphere in Nashville and Tennessee right now?
COVID atmosphere?
Yeah, the COVID atmosphere. Yeah, like how is it?
I mean, man, it's kind of, if you walk down the sidewalk, you know, it's weird like everywhere else, but it's a ghost town downtown. Outside of the, I'd say, a 2 mile radius of downtown, it looks like it's life is normal, but it's not.
And we wake up and it seems like it's life is normal, not realizing that outside there's so much and in the hospitals and whatever else is going on. Yeah, this is the most bizarre thing. And it's so slow at affecting people when someone does get it, that it's hard to put your brain around whether, because if it was something that was so quick and killed you within an hour or a day, then it would be probably a lot crazier and a lot scarier. Now it's just strange. It's just bizarre. And
it's a drain.
It is a drain. I want to do anything I can. Is there anything I can do personally to help you out or anything?
Thanks for the time and thanks for asking the questions. I mean, it's important that we all, interviews like this serve as vehicles to share best practices, so to speak. And I don't know if I really share any best practices more than what you've already heard from talking to whoever else you talk to. But, you know, it's just dine with us and try to shop with us when you can. You know, and that's about the only thing. If there was something else, I would be happy to tell you.
Yeah,
get into pay it. My debt off if you want to. That'd be nice.
Could I just send me your Venmo and I'll send it over.
Yeah.
I did want to get a little bit into whole hog barbecue, but it's like, it's hard because of how weird things are. Cause I had just talked to Zach Barker. And when I saw you here in Los Angeles, we had talked about the importance of whole hog barbecue in Tennessee. Can you talk just a little bit, even though it's the times are so strange, about why whole hog barbecue is important?
Well, outside of Memphis, it is the other barbecue in the state culturally that is so embedded in our history. And it's still a club-footed stepchild in the barbecue conversation nationally. Like, very few people know about how important West Tennessee whole hog barbecue is and was, and it is dying. I mean, there's still only 3 of us that are cooking hogs on a regular basis, and Zach being one of them. It just economically is a really stupid model, you know, so you're in for romanticism, because the yield on a hog is about 33%. You know, you're left over 33% left after you've cooked it, whereas a whole shoulder is at 50 to 52, 53. A Boston butt's almost at 60, you know, and so it's, you're just throwing money down the drain. So why do you do it? It does. It's a very unique taste. It's a very unique flavor. It's not smoky. I get, you know, over time we get, and not as much as we used to, but back in the day when 10 years ago when competition barbecue was like the thing, and
yes,
we'd have guys come in with all their little rib things in their hats, you know, and it wasn't smoky enough for them. And that's whole hog in the Carolinas and here is pit barbecue. And pit barbecue is not designed to pop you with smoke like you would in some J&R rotisserie or an offset, you know.
For sure. So
it's a very subtle flavor. And it's more of like a confit, like the French use, cooked because it's cooking in its own fat. You know, so it's very delicate. It's just different, you know. And so what's important for us with West Tennessee Hog is we cook larger hogs and we pull the meat. And so because of that confit, you know, and because we cook it a lot longer than other regions do, you know, we cook them for almost 24 hours.
Yeah, that's
incredible. 185 to 220 pounds, you know. So whereas over east of us here, they're cooking hogs that are 150 or below, usually 125, and they're getting them done in 12 hours. And it's a lot smarter. It's a lot smarter the way we do it. But this is the way we do it. And we can't change that. So
yeah. But you're not an idiot. Like it's a style that you want to keep, and you want to keep that tradition alive. So it's because of that, you know, there is that loss that you. But also too with you, I didn't, when I talked to Zach, because I forgive me for not even understanding whole hog that well, because I'm from Los Angeles and I've tried to get my brain around everything in barbecue. And can you order specific parts of the?
Oh, yeah, that's the big thing in West Tennessee whole hog is people were very specific about how they wanted their sandwich.
Okay. So okay.
Some people wanted lean meat, which would obviously be hams and loins, and some people may ask for fatty meat, and some people even ask for fatty meat with extra fat. Like it's, and then, you know, if somebody doesn't care, you're pulling it out of the shoulder, you know, where you've got some balance. So people are very specific about what they want. It's fading because there's not as many barbecue joints, a lot of that serve whole hog in Tennessee anymore, and the whole hog, just whole hog in general. The old timers are dying off, but man, like even 10 years ago, well, it's still now, that gets a lot more over there than I get here in Nashville. But you know, if you've got folks that grew up in it that are like 55 and older, they're going to come to the window and they're going to tell you where to pull it off of.
And otherwise, people would just say, I want a sandwich or I want this.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is good to know. And this is hopefully people can glean some information, because I would love for people to keep that tradition alive. And that's another reason why I cannot wait to come try your food and Zach's food. And because I want to be able to understand the differences too, and then understand the differences, order a different ways, or order the Pat Martin way. However, how would you place an order? What would be your perfect order at your restaurant? We'll end it with that.
Whole hog sandwich with slaw on top.
No specific way. Do you prefer like fatty, lean, like the?
Oh, I'm a balanced guy. You know, okay. Like I do. I like making a, if I had to make a perfect sandwich, it would be out of the jaw.
Okay.
You know, because it's really rich, really a lot of intermuscular fat in it, but it's not greasy.
Okay.
So, or it doesn't sit there. I mean, the belly meat is great too, but at the end of the day, man, a whole hog sandwich, wherever it comes from, as long as there's slaw on top and it's a good, you know, semi-sweet vinegar sauce to offset. That's another thing. It's so important, especially when you cook hogs. Is there's so much intermuscular fat and so much leaf fat and all that that's been come down. Like, you can't use these big, thick competition style. I mean, you can, but in my opinion, you shouldn't use these big, thick, sugary candy sauces on these, because all it does is cover up all the work you just worked hard to cook. Mm-hmm. So you got to have that balance, and you've got to have contrast where that vinegar offsets the fat and vice versa. It's just like a vinaigrette on a salad. You know, you've got an acid and a fat.
Mm-hmm. You need that acid, yes.
You got to have the acid.
Well, thank you, Pat, for doing what you're doing. And again, other than paying off your debt, let me know if there's anything I can do. And when I do have the funds, I'll outside of your way. Right. Right. At the moment, I'm still doing my thing in front of a thatched weird thing. So, but have a great weekend. Thank you as always for everything that you do. And again, you know, take care, and I'll keep sending people your way, and let's everyone support what you're doing. I want you and everyone else to be on the other side, like to be around on the other side.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks very much, and I wish you well and be safe.
Thank you.
I look forward to when we get to a time where you can come.
Yeah, and hang out and not have a mask on. That would be great. Let's get there. All right, take care. Have a good weekend. Be safe.
All right, man. See you.